Hello, I'm Rubina Margosyan and welcome to the Week in Review for the week of November 29. In the news, what is and is not being discussed in Armenia-Azerbaijan negotiations, Pashinyan offers some clarification. Azerbaijan formally protests the Polish president's visit to Armenia. Why? And has the launch of Armenia's first ever satellite been marred with embezzlement? These stories and more in our weekly roundup of the news. In an interview to Public TV this week, Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan addressed several issues, including the recent high-profile government resignations and appointments, the possibility of a referendum for EU candidacy, and the Armenia-Azerbaijan peace talks. Addressing the resignation of six high-ranking officials, Pashinyan said he acknowledges the significant contributions of the now former officials to their respective fields, but emphasized that certain issues, some identified as far back as 2018, are still in need of more effective solutions. According to the Prime Minister, even officials who initiated reforms may over time become acclimated to the system, making it harder for them to sustain the momentum. Regarding the resignation of the head of the Supreme Judicial Council, Garen Andreasyan, an independent body over which the Prime Minister's office has no authority, Pashinyan said he did not issue a directive for his resignation, but extended a request for him to do so. Having political, moral, and legal basis for making such a request, the basis for this request being his administration's promise to prioritize the establishment of an independent judiciary in Armenia. Two parliament members from the ruling civil contract party, Hovik Ağazaryan and Narek Zeynalyan, were also requested to put down their mandates. While Zeynalyan put down his mandate last week, it is still not clear if Ağazaryan, who has two pending cases against him, corruption and abuse of power, will follow suit. Pashinyan confirms that the controversial altercation in parliament between the then investigative committee chief Argishti Karamyan and Ağazaryan, where Zeynalyan was also implicated, was the reason for his requests. A few days after the interview, Pashinyan explained his new appointments. This was on social media, saying those appointed to or nominated for the vacant high-ranking positions fall into two categories. There are either those members of the 2018 revolution team who earned and maintained the public's trust, or people who were part of the state apparatus before 2018 who effectively utilized the opportunity the revolution afforded them to realize their full potential, and aligning with the values of the Velvet Revolution became part of the governing team. Since Eduard Hagopian was appointed as head of the State Revenue Committee, Hagopian held the post of Deputy Finance Minister from December of 2022. He previously served for 4 years as head of the Finance Ministry's Microeconomic Policy Department. And Artur Borossian was appointed as head of the Investigative Committee. Borossian has been Deputy Prosecutor General and Deputy Military Prosecutor since September 2022. Before that, for more than 2 years, he headed the investigative department of the National Security Service. The only post still to be filled is the post of the head of the Supreme Judicial Council, who must be elected by the council and cannot be appointed. In the interview, Pashinyan also addressed talks of holding a referendum on Armenia's application for EU candidacy. He said he was surprised to see his address at the European Parliament last year, in which he said that Armenia is ready to be as close to the European Union as the EU deems it possible, have such a ripple effect. Since pro-EU actors managed to collect 50,000 signatures mandating a vote in Parliament, Pashinyan said that if the Parliament does not approve the referendum, he believes the proponents of Armenia's EU integration can also gather 300,000 signatures, which is the number required by law to trigger a referendum. However, he also emphasized that his political team has not yet made a decision on the matter. Similarly, in the much-contested matter of speed cameras, Pashinyan, who before taking office in 2018 as an opposition lawmaker was advocating for the removal of the speed cameras, said during the interview that it has come to his attention, especially during his regional visits, that more and more people are in fact requesting additional speed cameras to be installed for road safety. As a solution, the Prime Minister suggested another citizen initiative. According to Pashinyan, there will be an opposition in parliament to eliminating the cameras altogether, and legislation does not allow the government to put the issue to a referendum, but a citizen-initiated signature drive might be the answer. And of course, Pashinyan spoke about the unresolved issues surrounding the Armenia-Azerbaijan peace treaty, which, according to the Azerbaijani sources, includes three key points: amending Armenia's constitution, withdrawing international legal cases, and removing the EUMA from the border. Regarding Azerbaijan's demand for Armenia to amend its constitution, Pashinyan reiterated that constitutional amendments are not part of the Armenia-Azerbaijan peace agenda. Regarding the withdrawal of international lawsuits, Pashinyan maintained his earlier position, stating that if Armenia and Azerbaijan genuinely achieve peace and sign a treaty, such a deal can be made possible. This would entail a mutual agreement to renounce claims related to past events. However, the understanding would not prevent either side from addressing potential future grievances should they arise. On the EU mission at the Armenia-Azerbaijan border, Pashinyan revealed that Yerevan proposed a countermeasure to Azerbaijan, requesting the withdrawal of EUMA observers from sections of the border that have already been delimited. According to the Prime Minister, observer presence is unnecessary in areas where the border is clearly defined. And since yesterday, Azerbaijani media outlets have been disseminating claims that Armenia is preparing for military aggression against Azerbaijan. According to Azerbaijani government mouthpiece Caliber, Armenia is allegedly gearing up for a new war with Azerbaijan, supported by its foreign allies. This time, Poland was singled out, with accusations of being one of Russia's main European opponents and having a vested interest in fostering conflicts along Russia's border. Earlier, Baku had criticized the Polish president, who, during an official visit to Armenia this week, met with EUMA observers in Yerask, it was near the Nakhichevan border, and participated in a patrol in the village of Bayrusevag. Baku expressed regret over the visit, emphasizing that Poland is officially Azerbaijan's strategic partner. And in a tweet, Azerbaijan's foreign ministry stated that despite numerous messages sent by Azerbaijani officials to Poland's presidential administration and foreign ministry, the Polish side did not refrain from taking this provocative step. The ministry added, "Azerbaijan retains its right to take appropriate diplomatic measures against this unfriendly action." The Azerbaijani foreign ministry also summoned the Polish ambassador in Baku to formally hand a note of protest, further accusing the EU monitoring mission of disseminating anti-Azerbaijani propaganda. During his visit to Armenia, Polish President Andrzej Duda met with Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan and other high-ranking Armenian officials. The discussions focused on the continuous development and expansion of cooperation between Armenia and Poland across various sectors. Cooperation between Armenia and the European Union was also a key topic. President Duda reaffirmed Poland's support for Armenia in expanding its relations with the EU and implementing democratic reforms. He welcomed the launch of the visa liberalization dialogue with Armenia, pledging support in the matter as well. Starting January, Poland will assume the presidency of the EU Council, prioritizing EU enlargement and an open-door policy. According to the Polish president's press office, although Armenia is not currently seeking EU membership, it has demonstrated growing openness to deeper cooperation with the West and the EU in recent years. Prime Minister Pashinyan also briefed President Duda on the latest developments in the Armenia-Azerbaijani peace treaty negotiations. 2 weeks ago, Duda also discussed Armenia-Azerbaijan talks with Ilham Aliyev at the COP29 conference in Baku. And by the way, this makes the first visit of a Polish president to Armenia in 13 years. And Armenia continues to boycott CSTO sessions. This week, Prime Minister Pashinyan and Foreign Minister Mirzoyan did not attend a CSTO Collective Security Council meeting in Kazakhstan. Russian President Vladimir Putin, speaking to reporters in Astana, attributed the rift between Yerevan and the CSTO to Armenia's domestic political issues and the Nagorno-Karabakh crisis. Putin stressed that CSTO bears no responsibility as there was no external aggression against Armenia itself. He explained that the CSTO mandate is to protect member states from external aggression. And while the events in Artsakh have their own specifics, he said Armenia neither recognized Karabakh as an independent state nor included it within its borders. Therefore, he argued, the events in Karabakh are not legally connected to Armenia, and expecting the CSTO to engage militarily in that enclave is rather strange. Yerevan, however, never appealed to the CSTO to intervene in the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. Armenia has criticized the Russian peacekeeping force deployed in Artsakh from 2020 to 2024 for failing its mission, but the peacekeeping force was a Russian initiative and not a CSTO operation. Still, Armenia did evoke the CSTO in September of 2022 when Azerbaijan launched a large-scale attack along almost the entire eastern border of Armenia. The assault killed over 200 servicemen and civilians and resulted in the occupation of over 150 square kilometers of Armenia's territory. Armenia at the time requested that the CSTO issue a political assessment of the attack and clarify its zone of responsibility along Armenia's borders, which the CSTO refrained from doing. And commenting further on Armenia's distancing from the Russian-led security organization, Vladimir Putin noted that Armenia has not announced its withdrawal from CSTO. Instead, he said Yerevan has indicated that it is taking a pause while continuing to support all documents adopted during this week's meeting and ongoing negotiation processes. Putin suggested that if this remains the case, there is still a possibility for Armenia to resume full participation within the organization. The Armenian government has not yet responded to Putin's remarks. Meanwhile, Armenia's prime minister is set to chair the Eurasian Economic Supreme Council meeting on December 25 in St. Petersburg. While the date and the time of the session has been set back in May of this year, the reasons why the presiding country is not, and in this case it's Armenia, is not hosting the meeting became subject of speculation this week. According to Vladimir Putin's aide, it was Armenia that had requested that the meeting be held in Russia and not in Armenia. Armenia's foreign ministry responded, clarifying that under EU regulation, it is not mandatory for the Eurasian Economic Council meeting to be hosted by the presiding member state. And though neither Yerevan nor Moscow have provided a specific reason for the meeting not being held in Armenia, Armenia's opposition, however, claims the decision is linked to Armenia's ratification of the Rome Statute last year. In 2023, the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Putin over alleged war crimes during Russia's invasion of Ukraine. When Armenia joined the ICC, Moscow criticized the move as unfriendly and warned it would further strain Russia-Armenia relations. Yerevan maintained that the decision was based solely on Armenia's sovereign right to exercise its full rights and play its full part as a member of the international community. And Kristina Grigoryan, the head of Armenia's Foreign Intelligence Service, did not attend the meeting of the heads of security agencies and intelligence services of the CIS member states this week. According to her press office, the absence was due to urgent work-related matters. However, a representative from the agency participated in the meeting. And this week, Iran and Azerbaijan conducted military tactical exercises of their special forces in the northern Iranian province of Ardabil, which lasted 4 days. According to Iranian sources, the primary aim of the exercise is to enhance cooperation in combating organized illegal armed groups, ensure the security of the common border, and bolster military capabilities. The exercises are also designed to strengthen defense cooperation at both tactical and operational levels. And a little bit of backgrounder here. Recently, there have been several joint military exercises between Iran and Azerbaijan. This June, the two countries held exercises in Nakhichevan, and earlier this month, the two countries had held several exercises on the Iranian shores of the Caspian Sea involving search and rescue and medical assistance operations. However, in contrast to the recent joint activity, Iran held two large-scale drills near Azerbaijan's border in September of 2021 and October of 2022, while Azerbaijan and Turkey responded with joint exercises near Iran's border in December of 2022. This week, Indian media outlets citing sources in India's defense ministry also reported that the first batch of Pinaka multiple rocket launchers have been delivered to Armenia. While Armenia's Ministry of Defense declined to comment on the arms purchase, neither from India and another reported purchase from Greece that was making the rounds in the media, it issued a statement noting that foreign media outlets continue to publish reports about Armenia's arms acquisitions and details of the procurement negotiations that are not true. Armenia's Prosecutor General's office confirmed this week that a criminal investigation has been launched into the possible waste or embezzlement of government funds allocated for the launch of Armenia's first-ever satellite into space. This was in May of 2022. However, the office declined to provide further details about the probe. The satellite project was developed and launched during the tenure of Vahagn Khachaturian, the current president of Armenia, when he was heading the Ministry of High-Tech Industries. The Armenian government purchased the satellite from Satlantis, a Spanish company specializing in the production of small satellites and related cameras. At the time, Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan stated that the satellite would be used for a range of purposes, including border control, natural disaster management, and geological research. Since then, little has been known about the satellite's operations or effectiveness. And political crisis in Gyumri persists as Armenia's second largest city remains without a mayor. This week, Prime Minister Pashinyan proposed a solution, announcing that primary elections will take place in Gyumri on December 8, 9, and 10. He explained that civic contract party members, supporters, and like-minded individuals would nominate candidates who would then be registered based on specific political criteria, not opening the parentheses what these criteria are. The winning candidate from this process would be appointed as the acting mayor and, according to Pashinyan, is likely to become the civil contract party's candidate in the subsequent municipal elections. The prime minister emphasized that the appointment of the acting mayor will be based on upcoming legislative changes. He insisted that to resolve the political crisis in Gyumri, he is compelled to appoint an acting mayor. However, for this to happen, the law must first be amended to grant him such authority, after which the preliminary elections will be concluded. And that was the last news for this week's Week in Review. And as always, a little bit about the articles that we published this week. We did an overview of Armenia's diplomatic footprint, which reveals its foreign policy goals and challenges in enhancing security, fostering economic ties, and amplifying its international presence. Hovhannes Nazaretyan, a staff writer here at EVN, examines how Armenia is positioning itself globally. And a column by Olesya Vartanyan, already Olesya's third installment, What Does a Second Trump Presidency Mean for Armenia? She looks at Donald Trump's return to the U.S. presidency, saying, while many Armenians are worried, yet it is a reality beyond Armenia's control, demanding clear-eyed pragmatism to preserve and build upon the hard-won partnership cultivated between Armenia and the U.S. in recent years. And we have a long-pending article that we finally published this week. It's Rethinking Monument Preservation in Armenia. Well, it's an article about how Armenia is developing policies to inventorize, preserve, restore, and promote historical monuments. Many of them we don't even know. We asked for the list from the Ministry of Culture, and we've received a list. And it's interesting that this new policy is also recognizing the economic component and the economic potential of these cultural monuments for Armenia and to the state budget. And another column this week by Maria Kungo, it's called They Versus We. And this month's Outside In, Maria Kungo explores how the pronouns they and we are used to navigate narratives of destruction, complicity, and survival. She examines the shifting boundaries of agency and the struggle for meaning in a post-socialist, post-truth landscape. And in a long-pending part four of a section that Heranush Dermoyan from EVN Report has started years ago, a series is called The Modern Challenges of a Capitalist City. This time she looks into the ongoing transportation reforms in Armenia, which have hit a really difficult transitional spot at this point where everything is changing and nothing is working yet. And that was all for this week. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back again next week.